The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A number of other guests as well. We've already started with some more breaking news out of Baton Rouge involving more allegations that are sounding very, very serious about the whole Les Miles situation. We had Kenny Jacoby on from USA Today. Right now, let's check in with Wiley, who is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Wiley.
Willie,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. How you doing, Paul?
Willie, I am doing well. Thank you.
You had mentioned, and I don't have a report of anybody dying, so that's good news for you.
Thank you.
So you mentioned last week about the Lewis Grizzard book that he was mentioning a lot of stories. Well, I had a story for you, actually kind of funny story, that you won't find in any book. My father was a teacher fresh out of college at Noonan High School. This is probably around 1962, 1963. And he coached basketball there, and this was back when it was 3-on-3. He coached the girls' team, and I think he had three girls on defense and three girls that played offense. You probably know more about that than I do. But anyway, he was also a math teacher, and he had a young girl. This was back when miniskirts were popular. He had a young girl that sat on the front row in a miniskirt, and he was a newlywed. And so my dad's a very modest man, and so he politely had that lady removed to the back of the room because he could not concentrate with her sitting on the front row. And that lady's name was, I believe it was Nancy Fuller. And that just happened to be Lewis Grizzard's first wife.
Oh, wow. That is an interesting story.
I thought you'd enjoy that. You won't find that in any book.
Yeah, no, well, that is a fantastic story. Willie, I was picturing that going back to, going back to school, and I could see it well. That was a very wise thing he did.
Yeah, to give him a plug, he would have never gone to college if it wasn't for his basketball skills. He played 4 years at – we played 2 years at Young Harrison, 2 years at Mercer, and he was actually inducted into the Mercer Athletic Hall of Fame a few years ago.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So there's a plug for my old man.
Well, it sounds like – is he still around?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a legend in Birmingham with church basketball. He's played for years and years and years. He played in the Senior Olympics for several years. And if anybody's ever played church basketball in Birmingham back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I can remember number 13 from Green Valley Baptist. You couldn't stop him.
What a great story. Willie, I loved it. That reminds me of the good old days when we told good stories on shows like this. Hey, thank you. And the best to what was his number again?
Number 13.
The best of number 13, the jump shot from the corner. Hey, thank you very much.
God bless you, Paul. Appreciate your show.
Great to talk to you, Willie. What a great story.
That
was cool. I mean, I used to, speaking of the old days, where my desk was at the old newspaper, there was a columnist that used to sit literally right behind me, a guy named Cletus Atkinson, and he was a people columnist. And he looked at me one day and said, hey, you up for a good meal? I said, whatever. So we drove north of Birmingham, and we went to this lady's house, and she was famous for fried green tomatoes. I don't know, but I mean, I really don't remember. But that's literally what this guy did. He would go meet people from small towns and write their story, just like Willie's dad. That would have been his Thursday column, and he was probably the whole newspaper. And, man, that was a good meal I had at that lady's house up in Gardendale that day. Let's check in with Dennis in Florida. How are you, Dennis? Good afternoon.
I'm doing well, Paul. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to begin by saying I am a definite U-homer. I'm from Coral Gables. I actually was lucky enough to be a bullpen catcher for the great Ron Frazier his last year in 1992
as coach. What a great coach.
But the best there's ever been, still in my opinion. But I will say this, University of Miami this year, I think that nobody's really giving them enough credit. I think that they're going to do well this year. I just want to say my wife thinks I'm crazy for calling your show for the first time to say this, but I think that Miami's going to go to the playoffs this year. And I think they're going to start by actually winning the game September 4th against the University of Miami. I think Derek King's that good. I think they actually have a great shot at doing that in Atlanta. And my wife told me not to say this, but I'm going to anyhow. There's going to be a storm surge in Atlanta this year. And it's because what a storm surge is it's when a hurricane totally controls and overwhelms the tide. So you have a great day, Paul.
Well, Dennis, thank you very much. I think you're wrong, but I appreciate your candor. Great to hear from you. Junior is up next. Good afternoon, Junior.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Junior, I am doing well. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. I'm sure sorry to hear about Bill Lumpkin. He was a great guy, and when I think of him, I think of the Skyriders y'all used to have going from,
oh my goodness,
from college to college, and how much fun that was to read about and get y'all off somewhere with a drink and let y'all tell about them.
Buddy Martin texted me yesterday. Buddy has been working on a documentary or something on the Skyriders. The Skyriders, for those of you who don't know, I believe it started in 1966. And there are only four, I think Buddy told me there's only three or four original members left. I never went on it, and I'm glad for that. I came along right as it was the last year of the Skyriders should be a 30 for 30. There was a toga party, a drunken brawl, and finally I think the SEC said we're done. I mean, here's how it worked. Let me explain. I'll get Buddy on one day to do this. You had, this was before... before everything, frankly, but, you know, you didn't really have Spring Magazine. So a group of sports writers got together in Birmingham in late July. This was in lieu of media days, and they would get on a crop dusting plane, and they would go to every SEC campus. They usually would hit two a day. It was such a big deal that they would go to Paul Bryant's house or Shug Jordan's house or Vince Dooley. I mean, this wasn't like, we'll meet you at the school. I mean, you literally went to the coach's house. You spent the entire night there, drinking, doing whatever sports writers do when they've been gone for 10 days. And, yeah, I mean, those of us at home, growing up, we could not wait to get our hands on the newspaper whenever they would come to Auburn or Tuscaloosa or Gainesville or anywhere else. It was such a big deal, and the characters and the stories I heard, I was probably a year away from getting on it and before they crashed it. Thank goodness. I don't think my morality could have handled it, but I cannot tell you the stories that I would like to tell you, but somebody would be really smart to do a tell-all on that, and because most of the people are gone now.
Oh, yeah, but I'm still reading from... I get the paper from Chattanooga with Exum.
Roy Exum, yeah. I'll never forget, Junior. A guy named George Lapidus and Marvin West. Marvin's still alive. He was the main guy in Knoxville, and George was in Memphis. They wrote about this unknown player at Auburn before anybody had ever heard. We had heard his name, don't misunderstand me, but he wasn't the top player at Auburn. And they did the first interview, I think, or the first big expose on Bo Jackson, saying, watch out, this guy is going to win a Heisman Trophy. And I remember reading it going like, I can't say I didn't know. I was working, I covered him in high school, but a lot of people had never heard his name before outside of Alabama.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be the big dog out of that class.
He went to Auburn as the I just got interviewed for a new book on Bo coming out sometime soon, and the author reminded me Bo was the number two running back that signed with Auburn that year. The number one running back was Allen Evans. His son played. Yeah, I think he went to Auburn and then went to Alabama. I can't remember. I think it was Rashad. Yeah, but Allen Evans was the number one player in the state of Alabama that year.
And Coach Bryant wanted Bo to play linebacker.
Well, in fairness to Coach Bryant, it was Ken Donahue, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Ken told Bo or his parents, I interviewed Bo's mom I don't know if she told me or Bo later told me that that she said you're, you know, if you and he wanted to go to Alabama. He grew up in on the Alabama side of Birmingham in McCalla or near Bessemer, and he Coach Donahue said you probably won't start until you're a junior, so maybe the best thing for you to do is play linebacker.
Yeah. Lawyer Tillman was in that same type of thing that
He was a great player too.
He wanted to play at wide receiver, and Coach Donahue I think told him that he would be a defensive back or a
Junior, one more story on Lawyer Tillman. I think it was 86. Lawyer Tillman won the Iron Bowl with a reverse. Do you remember the play?
Right.
So I gave him a hard time about this up until the last time I ever saw Coach Dye, someone I dearly loved. And if you remember on television, I didn't see this until 3 days later because I was on the sideline. Coach Dye was trying. I think it was Pat Sullivan. Coach Dye was trying to call timeout as Lawyer Tillman did the reverse for the winning score in the Iron Bowl. He didn't like the play. Hey, thanks so much. What a great I don't know why. We're into a nostalgia, which is a good reason to take a break and say we're going to Augusta next. Michael Eaves joining us live from Augusta National.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And 2 days away from the beginning of the Masters, who better to talk to than Michael Eaves, who's been covering the tournament for a number of years for ESPN, and he joins us live from Augusta National. Michael, first of all, good afternoon, and I know how excited you are to be back in Georgia. Good afternoon.
Paul, I appreciate that. The Masters has been my favorite week of the year for a long time, long before I started coming here for ESPN to cover the event. And quite honestly, to be back here in April is even better. I mean, I was happy that we could have a tournament last year considering the pandemic, but being here in November was not the same. We're back where we belong at the right time on the calendar.
So let's talk about, we know it's different than November, obviously, but just tell us about the week so far and what the buzz seems to be without Tiger Woods in the field.
Well, first and foremost, one of the best things about being back here in April, you see the people behind me. We didn't have these people in November. There were only a handful of people on the grounds. It was members and a spouse, significant other, things of that nature. But they do have patrons back here in the gates in a limited capacity. So just having the people here matters because this event has always been about the people as much as the players. So that's number one. There is a loss not having Tiger Woods here, clearly, because his career and this place have gone hand in hand for quite some time. From his first win in 97 to a couple years ago in 2019, that matters. But the fact of the matter is, Paul, there's so many good players on the tour right now, great players who've won major championships that have a chance to win another one, including Dustin Johnson, who won here in November, Justin Thomas, who has a PGA. He just won the Players Championship. Jordan Spieth came back into form last week in Texas. There are guys here that could really create a lot of buzz by the time we get to the weekend. And every time we come here, there's always these questions we have in terms of storylines. And oftentimes, Paul, the narrative ends up being a story that we didn't necessarily pay enough attention to early on. So I'm interested to see what develops by the time we get to the weekend.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Jordan Spieth because, you know, he was MIA for a couple of years. And then suddenly this year, Michael, he started showing up on the leaderboard leading. He didn't win until finally last week. But you talk about a dangerous player. What have you heard about him?
Well, his confidence is through the roof coming back here, especially after winning last week. And it had been more than 1,350 days since his last win of the 2017 Open Championship. And as you alluded to, earlier in the year, here in 2021, he was playing well and was in contention a couple times, but all of a sudden he'd have a bad round or a bad three or four holes that would take him off the top of the leaderboard and not enable him to get that victory. But having gotten back, he played well in the match play. He gets the win there at the Valero Texas Open. Now he comes here, a place he's won, and a place he always plays well because he putts it so well here. I doubt anyone drove up Magnolia Lane yesterday or Sunday with more confidence coming here this week than Jordan Spieth.
Michael, off the course, you mentioned how different things are. Talk about being in that city, and I realize it's only Tuesday, but there was, you know, the women's amateur was over the weekend. I mean, people just don't show up on Thursday morning. This is a week long event. What have you felt? How close to 19 does 21 feel?
Not that close. You know, the thing about Augusta is so many people come here, as you said, for the week, and so many people who live here leave, right? Because they rent their homes to people who come in just for the week. And the amount of people who come in here from out of town, you feel it all over town because these people go out to eat. There's traffic in and around Augusta National. There's traffic other parts of town, especially the downtown area where we have a lot of restaurants. And it's just not that packed, right? So it's not the normal feel, Paul. But again, it's way better than it was in November for obvious reasons. As I said earlier, as happy as I was that we were able to play at all last year, it was eerie on the golf course last year, and it was a different Augusta, Georgia. I'd never experienced that Augusta before, you know, what it's like on a regular basis. And it's not that it's bad, clearly, but in comparison to Masters Week, it is night and day. So for just some of these people to be back from out of town to help the local economy here, that's great, but it's still not quite the same. Hopefully, though, when we come back here in 2022, yeah, we'll have full capacity here with the patrons, and the city of Augusta will be back to its regular Masters Week.
Okay, enough of the Masters. Michael, we all know you're from Kentucky and a proud Wildcat fan. What's going on in the
bluegrass? I knew it was coming. Come on.
is Coach Cal
give me
with
why you can, Paul. That's all I'm saying. Give me why you can.
Up?
That's all I'm saying.
I've never had a chance like this before.
True.
Is there hope for the Commonwealth?
There's always hope. I mean, there's always hope because it matters too much to us for us to allow this to happen repeatedly. And look, I'm not going to make an excuse for John Calipari. He's done enough on his own to stand on his own 2 feet. But there was a lot of learning that went on last year with, granted, the pandemic clearly affected how he prepares and how he usually prepares. But he also lost Kenny Payne, his top assistant. And I know he knew that was going to be a big hole to fill, even by bringing in Bruiser Flynn, someone he's worked with before, obviously. But what Kenny meant to that program and to those players was clearly bigger than John realized in terms of being able to fill that hole. And you just look at the difference that he has made with the Knicks, with so many of those former Kentucky players on the roster there in New York, right? So his impact is invaluable to Kentucky over the last several years. Now that they've had a year to understand that, and the pandemic, again, that was also an issue, John's going to be way more prepared for this upcoming season without Kenny Payne than he was last year. But again, Paul, it's all about your players and recruiting, And for me, look, I know this is going to sound a little blasphemous for us being in the South and being a Southern boy myself. I don't care that much about recruiting, okay? Because anybody can give a kid a rating. Until that kid gets on campus and you find out how he plays for that coach and that system with those players, that's the only thing that matters. Kentucky's always going to have a good recruiting class, but do they have a good mix of players? And you don't know that till you get them on campus. Last year, it clearly didn't work out. How will that impact what John does this upcoming fall and into the winter? We're going to find out. But I do think he's going to be well more prepared this year than he was last year.
A very passable answer, Michael. Thank you. Listen, we appreciate you coming by, and we will all be watching this week, and we'll keep you in check on the Wildcats as we move toward next year. Hey, thank you. So great to see you.
Absolutely, Paul. Appreciate it. Go Cats.
You got it. Michael Eaves joining us from Augusta National, talking about golf and basketball. What else? We will take a break because the basketball season ended last night with the Baylor Bears as the national champion. That sounds strange. We are going to take time out. More of your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, welcome back. Great to have you here. And let's check in with Steve, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Steve.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon to you.
Well, good. Well, I have been waiting for years for this topic of the SEC Skyriders Tour to come up. Try to get in and ask if you were ever on one of those.
No.
The company that I flew for, I'm a pilot, is the company who flew the last two of those. And I was the pilot on those last two crews.
No, I did not. I didn't quite get in the business in time to secure a seat. So tell us about it.
Well, for a nominal fee from all of the guilty, I will give them a minute to call in and give me their, you know, so I can give them their where they could send me some money to not tell these stories, because I was the only one in the room who wasn't drinking. But I do have to say that what a good time we all had. Whether it was eating fried gator tail at Charlie Pell's house, or you know, getting to meet Herschel Walker at Vince Dooley's house. I actually still have Herschel's autograph.
That's amazing.
Program, and just. That was the year of the World's Fair in Knoxville, and we had a wonderful time there. But the pinnacle of them all was the aforementioned toga party, which took place in Lexington at either the Marriott or the Hyatt, right there that's attached to the Rupp Arena. And I've always thought a lot of Scoop Hudgens, and I know you more than most.
What a great man.
Oh, he was. But until you have seen him dancing up and down the halls in a toga made out of a clear shower curtain, you have not lived.
So, Steve, I've heard about this, but I don't know if I've ever really talked about it since it happened. Everyone on the Skyriders tour showed up in toga fashion?
Yeah, they did. They did. And Scoop, you know, he's like, I am not taking my bed apart because I got to come back and go to bed in it. So he grabbed the next best thing, and that was a clear shower curtain.
That is unbelievable. Elmore Scoop Huggins, what an all-time legend. He was the media director for the SEC.
Right, right. And, you know, he's the one who pretty much gave us all of our marching orders. But man, what a great time. And to this day, I'm now a commercial airline pilot, still out there flying the skies. But every time I land in an SEC city and watch the 10 o'clock sports cast, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I remember him.
So Steve, for those of the audience who are unfamiliar, was I correct? Would you hit two spots a day usually?
Not usually, but sometimes.
Okay. Sometimes.
We would generally start off, and we'd pick up a team. I think most years, the 2 years that I did it, we started off in Starkville.
Okay.
We'd go up to Oxford, then maybe down to Baton Rouge, go have a big crawfish boil, and then work our way across the South, then go over and land, go to Auburn and see all those guys. And most of the time, we'd spend the night in these places.
What type of plane did you fly then?
It was a 50-passenger turboprop. It was a Convair 580,
okay,
which at the time was still in commercial airline service, but it was the company I worked for. We primarily did drilling crews. I mean, I flew Mikhail Baryshnikov around for a summer. And,
really?
You know, a lot of neat stuff like that. So that was our bread and butter. We flew drilling crews around up and down the Gulf Coast. But the football, basketball charters were always highly fought after. And I'm just a petite flower myself. Even back in my younger years, I was 6'7 and 240. And when we flew the LSU basketball team up to Lexington for a football or for a basketball game one night, I was the first one down the steps to make sure everything was set up. And the Kentucky coach got a hold of the LSU coach and goes, "You don't have anybody on your team this size. Who's he?" Because I was bigger than everybody else on the LSU team.
That's amazing.
So, We had a lot of fun doing all that stuff. But the SEC Skyriders was just was the pinnacle, and we had a lot of fun, a lot of neat people. And I've still got a picture that one of the group took. We're all standing out on a hotel balcony. I think this one was in Gainesville. Just Scoop holding court. He's the only one in the chair sitting there with his legs crossed and arm around two cute little girls, and away we go to girls who had no clue what was going on. They just happened to be by the swimming pool in bathing suits.
Having never been on it, and you have, and I'm not asking you to blow the cover even 30 years later or almost 40 years later, but was it as bad as I'd heard?
The toga party was the worst. or best, depending on your point of view.
Yeah.
But they, you know, there were adult parties pretty much every night. But yes, there were some altercations that most of the time we heard about a lot of that stuff later the next day, or we'd be getting ready to load up and go, and everybody would be on board, and we'd be counting heads, and we'd be missing somebody, and they go, "Yeah, they're getting him out of jail. So, we can't leave yet."
This is, man. I'm somewhat familiar with all of this, but I don't want to act like I am.
Well, I'm sure you got way better pictures than I did, but.
No, I made the mistake once at a journalism convention of telling the truth about a sports writer meeting I had gone to, and it was 10 years before anybody in the industry talked to me again.
I am sure, but it was a lot of fun. We were all young and having a good time, and just lots of neat friends. One of which I just unfortunately we just lost in a house fire up here in Nashville, who was a longtime cameraman at WSM who flew around with Charlie Alexander.
Oh my goodness, Charlie Alexander was a great man. He did play by play for Vanderbilt or somebody once. In addition to being a he was fat. Yeah, I mean, there were so many great. Yeah, I mean, I forgot to mention. Yeah, there were every big city had a TV guy on as well, in addition to the sports writers.
Exactly. Every SEC town that had a news TV station pretty much had a crew on the airplanes.
Yeah,
we had two, sometimes three airplanes that we'd all fly.
Oh, I didn't realize. And for the audience, Steve, you know, this was the preamble to the SEC media days when it finally ended,
exactly.
82, 83, somewhere in there. I can't remember when.
Yep.
Then in Birmingham, they started having media days.
Yep. And you had to, we kind of saw it coming because, I mean, goodness gracious, to fly three airliners around for, you know, 2.5, 3 weeks all over the southeastern United States is not a cheap proposition on a good day.
And this was continuous. Nobody, you know, you didn't come, you, the people didn't go home for a couple of days. I mean, this, you went town to town.
It was a 10-day, 2 week excursion around the southeast in late August.
Yeah.
Just before spring, fall camp would start up.
And man, you, I hope my friend down in Florida does this. He's been working on a piece on this, and hopefully you would be a great source of information. I can assure you. I don't know if you want to be, but
well, like I said, for a nominal fee, I can remain quiet.
No, if you're an airline pilot, I'm sure you'd probably rather stay doing that. Considering that are the airlines pretty much back now to normal or semi-normal?
They're semi-normal. Okay. I know the airline I fly for is running about 89% load factor right now.
I ask you, because a neighbor of mine is an international pilot, and he is still not back yet. But he does the long haul shots. And
yep. Well, that's what I did, and we probably work. If you're with you there in Charlotte, we probably work for the same company because I was an old Piedmont Airlines guy.
Yeah, that wouldn't be hard to figure out.
Yeah, but. And so they parked the airplane we were all on. I was off for a year and almost a month, and I just got finished with my training to get on a new airplane. So it takes a long time to get all those guys trained when it takes about 6 or 8 weeks start to finish to get them done.
Well, if you were doing the international, then you've done well.
It's been a good ride. I've been there 36 years and got 3 more to go. So hopefully I can get these last 3 in and we called this last year our practice retirement. So,
and then Steve, when you get done with those 3 years, call me and we'll do the book on the Skyriders tour.
Let's do it. I would love to.
Well, thanks so much for calling. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Anytime, Paul. Thank you. Enjoy talking with you.
Wow.
Have a good day.
Thank you. I never expected that. I mean, we were just talking about that Skyriders tour, and here's a guy that went city to city. And by the way, nobody will ever tell the truth about what really happened on these Skyriders tours because some family members are still alive. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
And welcome back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Great to have you. Let's go back to the calls. And Bob in New York. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul. I hope all is well.
Thank you.
Last Friday's show, you and your staff, I think, deserve a medal in handling that whole situation, you know, going into a religious weekend and all that. Yeah, very, very, very nice job in that. And then earlier in the week, a gentleman from California called with some issues dealing with the pandemic, and he had two very nice callers, I believe one from South Carolina and a gentleman was from another state. Very pleasing to hear the compassion and caring out there of people that also love to listen to the show, and it just it was just nice and gave a renewed spirit of there is good out there, and you know, everything's going to be okay. So I just wanted to make a comment on that. And like always, I do love the show. And go Aggie baseball, Paul. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you, Bob. Let's go to Jim in New York. Jim in St. Louis. Hey, Jim, go right ahead.
Yes, Paul, the Baylor Bears. Although I've been a lifelong Missouri fan, my daughter graduated from Baylor, so I follow them closely. And for the gentleman from Austin that called a little while ago, I'm sure he's a Texas fan, and even though you're the biggest school in the state, doesn't mean you're the best. But what I really called you about was this transfer portal, which is fine, I think it's a good thing. But I'm just wondering if these kids do enough research, because I think I heard the other day that there's like 800 or 900 kids in the transfer portal, and I'm just wondering if there's that many spots available.
There are not, and that's the tragedy of it, that a player will leave a particular school and end up having to scrape around for any place to go. And I'm not saying, you can play for the smallest school in the country and still enjoy it, but when you leave a big-time Power 5 school, you hope to go to one as well.
Right, exactly. I was just when I heard that, I thought, man, I don't think there's that many spots available, and unless these kids are doing some type of research as to what they're doing.
They're not. They're a good player at whatever school, and they think they can. That there'll be a market for them, and they find out there's not, and they're lucky if they get on anywhere. I've read some in-depth analysis of this, and it's unbelievable how many bad decisions are being made.
Right. I'm sorry. I hate to hear that, but I guess it's their choice to transfer.
Yeah, it is. We all make terrible decisions at various times in our life.
I know I've made a lot of them.
Yeah, I have made plenty, I can assure you. That's a very dangerous age to make one I'm not saying you have a great thing going, but it could turn out to be really good wherever you are, and you may end up nowhere. Hey, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
You bet. Have a good day. JJ is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
What's up with
you? How are you doing?
I am doing great.
That's great. I just wanted to call about the Gonzaga game last night. I really do think they put up a good fight, and I hope they keep on going strong.
Well, thank you, JJ. I'm still pretty amazed by what happened. They look like they left their game, their best game on the floor at UCLA, and just couldn't get it back together again. Hey, thank you very much. Booger is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Booger.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Hope you are.
I'm fine. Look, before you came on today, they had a replay of the Tulsa Mississippi State game on.
Right.
The bowl game. You're familiar with it?
I'm very familiar with it. I saw it.
Okay. I've got a two-part question for you. Do you think the SEC is going to hand down any penalties for the actions that we saw after that game? And the other part is, do you think the teams coming out shirtless should be banned? Does that really serve any purpose?
Well, it really doesn't. I talked to someone at Mississippi State about that, and I think that was more of a, we've worked so hard during a very difficult year, and we just want to show off. I think it's incumbent upon Mississippi State to make that decision. I don't know whether they've made anything or not, but I know there were one or two players in particular that I'll be interested to see what happens, and I haven't really heard much about it. We talked to, I think it was Tyler Horka the other day about State, about opening up camp, but I always think it's better internally to handle something like that than to wait for someone else. I hope it's handled. I'm sure it has been. But we may not know about it publicly. Anyway, let me take a break here. Blake Topmeyer, in the next hour, he'll give us the latest on Tennessee. But we still have plenty of time to talk to you. We have fewer guests today than usual, and we want to make sure that you participate. So the phone number is here for you at 855-242-7285, and we will take your calls during the break.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.